Turn, if you would, to 1 Samuel chapter 1. I'm just going to clue you in tonight. I don't do this very often, but I do speak topical message, and that's what you're going to get tonight, is a topical message. And so be prepared if you want, or have a pen and a piece of paper and write down the references. But just want to share what God laid on my heart, and I believe that you'll be blessed. 1 Samuel chapter 1. I want to read a couple of verses here, verse 12 through verse 14. And it came to pass, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli marked her mouth. Now Hannah, she spake in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she had been drunken. And Eli said unto her, how long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thy wine from thee. Go to 2 Kings chapter 4. 2 Kings chapter 4. Verse 25 through verse 27. 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 25 through 27. So she went and came unto the man of God to Mount Carmel. And it came to pass, when the man of God saw her afar off, that he said to Gehazi his servant, behold, yonder is the Shunammite. Run now, I pray thee, to meet her, and say unto her, is it well with thee? Is it well with thy husband? Is it well with the child? And she answered, it is well. And when she came to the man of God to the hill, she caught him by the feet. But Gehazi came near to thrust her away. And the man of God said, let her alone, for her soul is vexed within her, and the Lord hath hid it from me, and hath not told me. Hebrews chapter 4. The two passages we just read tell us of two people who were experiencing inward pain, but were in some capacity able to shield it. Eli thought Hannah was drunken, but she was overcome with emotional hurt because she was barren. The Shunammite lost her son in death and was overwhelmed with grief, but Elisha was unaware of her pain. I submit unto you that the vast majority of people with whom we come into contact possess unseen stress. Truth is, most of us guard against exposing too much. When my wife and I had the opportunity to be chaperones on our younger son's senior trip, we ended up going to a leadership camp in North Carolina. That was part of the trip. And it was pretty much like church camp, except the focus was upon high school seniors. Well, on that Thursday night, there was a time where each high school group got alone to their own group, and it gave them the opportunity for the kids to give testimony. And most of the seniors from my younger son's class, they spoke. And what I found from listening to this time of sharing is that people are good at covering up their pain. Nearly everyone who testified spoke of some sort of pain or hurt in their life. Some spoke of poor interpersonal relationships with other classmates and how hurt that they were. Others spoke of family problems. A few spoke of parental issues. Some were dealing with broken homes, others with broken hearts. And then there were hurt feelings, disappointments, discouragements, and emotional hurts. And among those high school seniors, the tears flowed freely. Among other things, what I took away from listening to those young people was the pain in each of their lives. I had seen those kids for years, and I would have never guessed the heartache which they possessed. Yes, each in their own way had a private pain. They covered it well, and one would think that most of them didn't have a care in the world. But the reality was they were hurting, and they were hurting deeply. And as a result, I was reminded that people that we encounter face affliction of some sort. Everyone has problems, and each have their own crosses to bear. And those about us may put on an air of bravery and manage a smile, but deep inside they're crying. and they're hurting. It is my objective to address those in our midst who put on a happy face, but who are sad within. And I'd like to lend some biblical guidance. I would also like to remind us, all of us, to be cognizant of the fact that so many around us are hurting. There are many people who have private pain. That's the title of my message. That's the topic. Private pain. Let's pray. Father, again, thank you for the privilege of sharing your word. And I pray that you would just speak it to our hearts tonight. And Lord, I suspect that there are some here tonight that are hurting and nobody knows it but them and you. And God, we ask that you be pleased to bless your word to every heart. We ask that you would comfort those who are in distress. We ask that you give us wisdom that as we encounter those in distress, that we would be able to help them and to comfort them with the comfort wherewith we are comforted by you. And Father, when we experience those private pains ourselves, help us to turn to you. So, Lord, I just ask you to bless your word and speak it to every heart. We pray especially for the lost that they might see their need of Christ tonight. And we pray that you'd be pleased to save them. Just forgive us where we fall short. May your will be done. We ask it in Jesus' name and amen. When I have a private pain, it is incumbent that I respond to it properly. Oh, by the way, let me say that to you too. When we hurt, those of us who know Jesus Christ need to respond properly. As a Christian, I desire to honor God with my life. And that includes how I deal with my fears and my hurts. And in this message, I just wish to share with you my perspective on this subject. It's just going to be my personal take on it. Take what you want, leave the rest behind. But perhaps something will be said that will help you in your private pain. It is a topical message. There are, first of all, the things that I would want to mention unto you is what I must know. If I want to face life and the trials and the heartaches and the hurts of life, there are some things that I need to know and there are things that you need to know. And I submit unto you the first thing that you need to know is that God exists. Amen. There is a God in heaven. Genesis 1:1 talks about that God created the heavens and the earth. The Bible just opens up with a declaration. God simply is. And yet there might be some of you here tonight that do not believe that God exists. Oh, you might be in church, you might follow your family and come in attendance, but the fact is, you're not really sure that there's a God in heaven. But I want to declare unto you that God is real. God is on His throne. Life is not by accident, nor is it by random. God is the Creator. He is the Sustainer. He is the Sovereign God. Man is not the pinnacle. God is supreme. God is ultimate. There is a God in heaven to whom you can turn. If you're hurting tonight, the pain that you suffer, know that there's God. And this event of life is not something that happened by random. There is a sovereign God in heaven that can intervene in the affairs of man and does intervene in the affairs of man. And that means you and that means me.
Amen.
If you're going to face the troubles of life, you have to know that God exists. Secondly, I submit unto you that God knows. This God in heaven is one who knows exactly what's going on. 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 7 says, "For the Lord seeth not as a man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart." God knows everything about you. Psalm 11, verse 4, "The Lord is in His holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, His eyelids try the children of men." God who exists knows about everyone in this world and every thought, every activity, everything about you, whether you like it or not. Isaiah 46:10, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying, "My counsel shall stand and I will do all my pleasure." He declares the end from the beginning. Do you know why? Because He knows all things. God is omniscient. I invited you to turn to Hebrews 4. Look at verse 15. Hebrews 4:15, "We have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sins." It's a double negative there, which simply just means that God was tempted in all points like as we are. He knows what it's like. He knows the pain. He knows the suffering. He knows temptation. God knows all about that. Jesus Christ is aware. And we need to remember that. Go back, if you would, to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. I think you've determined that some of these verses I'll read to you and some of them I will invite you to. I'll invite you to them so you won't fall asleep. We want you to stay awake. No, Matthew chapter 6, verse 31. Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or with all shall we be clothed? For all the things do the Gentiles seek. Verse 32 says, for your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. I submit to you that in the midst of your pain and your suffering, God exists and God knows. He knows you're hurting. He knows the source. There in Matthew, turn back one page, if you would, to Matthew chapter 5. God not only exists and God knows, but I want you to know that God cares. Because there are some people who believe that God exists, and they might believe that God does know everything, but they're not really sure if God's plugged in or not. They're not really on board with the idea that God cares about His creation. Matthew chapter 5 reminds us in verse 45, at the end of that verse, that God makes His sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. So even if you're lost as a goose in a thunderstorm, my friend, you need to recognize you're dead in trespasses and sin, yet God cares for you because you're His creation. God cares. God has a concern. He sends rain for you. He sends sunshine for you. And He gives you health, but He also allows the pain and the suffering and the trials to come. We all experience that, do we not? 2 Corinthians chapter 1, if you'd like to turn over there. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. God cares, does He not? And Paul writes to the church of Corinth and he says in 2 Corinthians 1 verse 3, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies He's called, and the God of all comfort. Are you hurting tonight? Then I implore you, turn to God and pour out your heart to Him. God is the God of all comfort. Psalm 34:7 says, the angel of the Lord encamps round about them that fear Him and delivereth them. What a blessing that is to those of us who know Jesus Christ. Amen. God knows, God cares all about us. Then I want to submit unto you and go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. I believe that God has a purpose. If I'm going to approach life and the hurts and the pains of my life, I need to know that God exists, that God knows, and that God cares. And that makes a difference for me, and I think it'll make a difference for you. But also, I would believe that God has a purpose. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 says, the Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations, and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. God knows how to deliver. God knows, I mean, He allows us to go through it, but He also knows how to deliver. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, where I invited you to turn, remember the all-familiar verse 13. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you or allow you to be tempted above that which you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. God has a purpose and a plan of what's going on in our lives. And I need to keep that in mind, that God can deliver me from temptation. He can keep me from going through it, or He can allow me to go through it. He can cause it to happen to me, and He can give me every grace that I need to go through it.
Amen.
Why does He do that? Because Hebrews 13:5 reminds us at the last part of that verse that He has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee.
Amen.
Again, what a precious promise to those of us who know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. He is with us and He will not leave us nor forsake us, no matter how much we hurt and how deep the pain is. Jesus Christ is still there. Now you might have a hard time believing that. That's our problem, isn't it? But I'll tell you, He's there. He hasn't gone anywhere. He hasn't left you.
Amen.
He still knows and He still cares and He still has a purpose. then, if you would, you're in 1 Corinthians, go over to 2 Corinthians. Very familiar passage in chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. The next thing I believe that we need to know is that God gives support. God responds. God gives support. 2 Corinthians 12 talks about the Apostle Paul crying out to God three times to take away that infirmity of the flesh. We're very familiar with the passage, but we pick it up in verse 9 and recognize what God told Paul. He wasn't going to take it away. And he said unto me, Paul writes, "My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." Paul then understands, "Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." When I heard, I need to know that God does care, God has a purpose, and God gives support. "My grace is sufficient for you." Did that only belong to the Apostle Paul, or does that belong to you and me? God's grace is sufficient. Go, if you would, to John 16. John 16. This time, verse 33. Jesus said, "These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation." Whether you like it or not, the world stinks. It does. And there's a lot of pain and heartache out there. "And in the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." What an encouragement. That doesn't mean I don't hurt. That doesn't mean I don't go through sad times or grief or sorrow. I do just like everyone else. He says, "Be of good cheer because he has overcome the world." We have the support of God. So Hebrews chapter 2, if you would. Back to Hebrews chapter 2. We preached the other night about hungering and thirsting about the Word of God. This will help you learn a little bit about where to go, if you can get there quick enough. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 18. "For in that he himself has suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted." Jesus Christ experienced these things, and he can comfort me because he's experienced those things.
Amen.
He is the God of all comfort. We already directed your attention to that. God gives support. Isaiah 40:29 says, "He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength." What an encouragement. Philippians 4:13, Paul says, "I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me." By the way, I'm going to talk about that in the morning. Philippians 4:13. Isaiah 41:10, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." Oh, what encouraging words when you're down. Psalm 34:17-19, "The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth, and delivereth them out of all their troubles. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all." Do you have any private pain? Then I encourage you that there are things that you must know. And you need to know that God exists, and that God knows, and that God cares, and God has a purpose, and God gives support. You're there in Hebrews, right? So look into chapter 4 once again. That's my first point, what I must know. The second point is, what must I do? Okay, I know these things. What must I do as I face pain? Well, I submit unto you, first of all, to be active in prayer. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16 this time. We read verse 15 before, but verse 16, "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need." I urge you, if you're hurting tonight, and maybe nobody knows but God, you go to God, and you open up your heart, and tell Him,
"Amen.
God, I hurt. Lord, I'm suffering. I'm in deep pain. And I can't tell anybody, but I can tell you." Be active in prayer. We have not because we ask not. We need to go to God. We need to pour out our heart to Him. We should give Him praise and honor and glory. We should give Him thanks and honor Him with our lives. But you know, we can also go with our heartaches. He asks us to do that. We were talking yesterday about God being our Father. And He delights in His children coming to Him.
Amen.
Just as much as you delight in your children coming to you and saying, "Hey, Mom, hey, Dad, I want this, I need this, or I'm hurting here, I need your wisdom." Go to God. God is a loving Heavenly Father. We've already seen that, the God of all mercy. And be active in prayer. Remember the model prayer that was spoken in Matthew chapter 16, verse 13 says, "And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." Do you pray that way? "God, please protect me today. Deliver me from evil. And those things which I'm going through, I need your support. I need your guidance. If you're not going to take it away, I need your grace. Because if you don't give me the grace, I will not handle it the way I ought to, and then I'll shame your name. So I want to be honoring and glorifying to you in my life. So give me what I need to live for you and to handle this well."
Amen.
We need that. We really do. I encourage you to be active in prayer. Go to one other place, Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, the all-familiar passage in verse 6 and verse 7. "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Worry about nothing, pray over everything is really the summary of that. Give thanks to God. What I found is that when we turn our hearts to God and we cast our care to His feet, that God will give us a peace that passes all understanding, and the world scratches their head and says, "I don't understand it. I don't know how it is that you can go through that and you seem to be at peace." When we respond right, it's a testimony to the world. When we respond poorly, they don't see much difference between us and them. That's why I want to respond well. That's why if trouble or heartache comes, if grief comes to me, even if it be sudden, I want to respond well. I don't want to be uncaring or unsympathetic, but I want to respond well because I know people are looking at me. And so I need to be seeking God in prayer, so that God, You would guide me and direct me. I want to cast my care upon You. And I know that You will give peace. And the world will not understand that. Other Christians sometimes will not understand it. But You keep my heart and mind through Christ Jesus. May God grant us grace to seek God in prayer. That's what, I mean, I know some things, and so then I need to respond and I need to be active in prayer. Turn, if you would, to Romans 15, number 2. We need to be involved in Bible study. I cannot overemphasize learning your Bible, knowing what God has to say. Hunger and thirst after righteousness. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." We simply do not respond well to our circumstances sometimes because we just don't know how to respond. We haven't learned how to respond. We haven't taken what God has said and plugged it in. And that causes us to respond improperly sometimes. So we need to study. We need to know what God has to say. The verses that I've given you, I mean, I've given you a number of verses. I didn't count them up. I don't know how many's in this. But, you know, all these are verses. Are they offending you? I hope not. I hope you're saying, I'm glad to be reminded of that. That's right. I need that encouragement. I need that instruction.
Amen.
So Romans 15, verse 4. "Whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope." Bear that in mind as you go to 2 Timothy chapter 3. You say, "Why should I read the Old Testament Scriptures?" I mean, you ought to read both of them, but why should you read the Old Testament Scriptures? Because Paul said those things are written aforetime, were written for our learning and admonition.
Amen.
You can learn from these people's experiences.
Amen.
They're there for a purpose. So don't ignore that. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. Of course, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And what's it profitable for? It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And of course, it goes on and talks about how the man of God is perfect and thoroughly furnished unto all good works. But I'm telling you, the Word of God is profitable for you. If you name the name of Jesus Christ, you ought to be interested in the Word of God. If you're lost, I want you to be interested in the Word, because that's where you'll learn about God. But as Christians, we need to be in the book knowing what God has to say, because God has provided this for us. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20 says, "For all the promises of God and in Him are in Him, yea, and in Him, amen." If you don't know the promises, though, you can't plug it in. Right? And so, very similar to what we just read in Romans 15, Paul wrote to the church of Corinth, and he said in chapter 10, verse 11, "Now all these things happened unto them for ensamples, or examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come." Read the book, study the book, learn from these people's experiences, see what God has done, and let it make a difference in your life. Go, if you would, to Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. So I need to be active in prayer, and I need to be involved in Bible study. If I want to respond well to my pain, or help someone that's in pain, I need to be active in prayer, and I need to be involved in Bible study. And I submit unto you, number three, that you need to have a trusted accountability partner, or a confidant, if I may. I'm not talking about a confessor here, but someone that can just lend you help, and they need to be trusted. But Galatians chapter 6, verse 2 says, "Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." You do not have to go it alone. You need to find someone that you might be able to share and say, "You know what, I'm hurting in this way, and nobody knows it, and I'm just telling you, it's just between me and God, but I'm going to share it with you because we're to bear one another's burdens. I think you can help me." And so, as a Christian, you have that opportunity so many times. As people are hurting, if they see that you respond well, and they see that you have a foundation in your life, and there's peace in your soul, you know what, and they're hurting, they're more likely to come to you to say, "Listen, I just noticed there's something different about you, and I just want to tell you something. Will you keep it to yourself?" "Yes, I will." There are things that people told me I haven't told my wife. You know why? Because I told them I would keep it in confidence. You say, "Well, that's your wife." Yes, she's my wife, but I also keep it in confidence. I keep my word. Get an accountability partner. Somebody that if you can't turn to anybody, at least turn to that person. Of course, God should always be your confidant. He's your first and primary response. Pray to Him. But find somebody to help you. Somebody will give you biblical counsel. Proverbs 12:15 says, "The way of the fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise." Sometimes we just need somebody to give us something from the Word of God that we'll just go, "You know what, I forgot about that."
Yeah.
You know, I hadn't even thought about that in reference to this. Proverbs 27:17 says, "Iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friends." We need a confidant. And so, by God's grace, if you're hurting, you might be able to turn to somebody. And it could well be your spouse. You pick. But seek God's will on that. And then go over to James chapter 1, if you would. James chapter 1. I need to know some things, and there are things that I need to do if I'm going to respond well. And I want to be active in prayer, and I want to be involved in Bible study, and I want to have an accountability partner. But number four, I just need to seek wisdom from God. James 1:5, it's one of my favorite verses. "If any of you lack wisdom, Let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. As we go through this life and we navigate the things and the circumstances of our existence, we need wisdom. And the Bible says that we can go to God. If any of you, it's a general statement, if any of you lack wisdom, then ask God. There's the prayer factor. Turn to the sovereign God, the source of the universe, and ask Him, and give, and He gives to all men liberally. God is generous with it. And He won't shame you. God will give you what you need. I told my boys over and over and over, have you prayed about that? Have you asked God to give you wisdom? I mean, they're making life-changing decisions. Have you even asked God about what He thinks? If you lack wisdom, you don't know how to deal with it, go to God. Go to God. Then I submit unto you, number 5, be patient. Be patient. We get in such a hurry, don't we? You've heard that joke, haven't you? Well, if you don't like the word joke from the pulpit, maybe I should say a bit of humor. Well, that guy is praying for patience, and he says, God, give me patience, and give it to me now. that's tongue-in-cheek, but we need to be patient. You won't go to God and say, God, I made a mess of my life, and I'm really hurting deeply, and I expect You to fix it in the next 5 minutes. We spent years messing it up, and then we want God to correct it within a very short period of time.
That's right.
I need to be patient if I look at the trials of my life. Isaiah 40, verse 31, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. Wait upon the Lord. Psalm 37, 5. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in Him. And He shall bring it to pass. He didn't say He'd turn the key instantly. He just says, I'll take care of it, but it's going to be in my time. But I'll bring it to pass. Psalm 55, 2, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and He shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. Do you believe those things? I do. And I think that you do too. But that requires patience. God, I'm asking for help. I'm asking for Your grace, Your mercy. But I need to be patient and wait upon my God and trust in Him. Go back, if you would, to Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. Number 6. I need to be sensible. Sensible. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. One thing I've learned about myself all the way through these years is the fact that, you know what, I can sure mess it up. And I just don't always have the right thought process. I don't always apply the principles the way that I should. And so what I need to recognize is, as I face my pain and my troubles, as you face your pain and your troubles, have some sense about it. People in our society just knee-jerk reactions now. They're not thinking. And they just do this and they do that. You go, there's just no sense to it. And then they wonder why they are in deeper trouble than they were before. Well, I mean, you come to Memphis and you can see it all the time. Their sensible solution is to shoot somebody. And that's just the truth. I've already decided that I'm not honking at anybody at the light before. If they're sleeping or sitting on their phone, I'm not honking them anymore because I'm going to get shot. Because that's what they do in Memphis. Well, we need to be sensible. People are not sensible. We need to be sensible. Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 2 says, be not rash with thy mouth. Some people get in trouble and they just start making promises right and left. Oh, God, do this. And I've had people tell me in the hospital down through the years, God, You get me out of this and I'll come to church and I'll be faithful to You. And you know what? Not a one of them has been true. I had people make promises on their sickbed to God and they do not respond. They don't keep their word. They're making promises they will not follow through with. We need to be sensible. Now Isaiah 26:3, another of my favorite verses says, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed upon thee, because he trusteth in thee." Be sensible. Trust in God. Cast your care upon Him. Don't freak out. No panic attacks. Just lean upon God. And He'll keep you in perfect peace. You just got to trust Him. But that's not easy to do in the midst of suffering, I know. We're so frail, aren't we? Then if you would go over to 1 Peter chapter 5. I hope you're not worn out yet. We're coming down to the end. 1 Peter chapter 5. I need to be sensible and I need to be surrendered. If you're going to deal with your pain and your... Nobody knows but you and God, you need to be surrendered. 1 Peter 5:5, the latter part of the text says, "For God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you." Got to surrender it up to God. God, my life is in Your hands. It's always been in Your hands, but I'm thinking it was mine. It's always been in Your hands. I need You to take over. I've made such a mess of things. Be surrendered. Go back to your left a little bit to James chapter 4. I remind you of James chapter 4, verse 15. "For that you ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that." If the Lord will. It's not all about me, it's all about God. If the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. If it's Your will, take it away. If it's Your will, then give me the grace that I need to bear up under it. Whatever it is, God, I want to respond well. And I want to respond according to Your will. I need to be surrendered if I'm going to respond the way God wants me to respond. There in chapter 4, book of James, once again, back up to verse 6. James 4, 6. "But He giveth more grace. Wherefore He saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you." Skip to verse 10. "Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He will lift you up." I encourage you, be surrendered. And then go, if you would, to Romans chapter 8. I would have hoped you surmised in there along the way, where's Romans 8? Where's Romans 8? Romans chapter 8. But we'll back up to verse 26. Romans 8:26. "Be surrendered." Why? "Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered." Wow, what a blessing it is that God intercedes for us in the midst of our prayers, that He'll fix our lousy praying. And we're praying, "God, do this and God, do that." And God says, "That's not my will for you." And the Spirit changes that before God and says, "God, don't do that. God, don't do this." He intercedes for us. And He does so because, verse 27, "He that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because He maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God." I'm glad the Spirit intercedes for me. And so in the midst of my pain and heartache, the Spirit is still there interceding for me. But that leads us to the promise that we always jump to in verse 28. But the foundation is found in 26 and 27. And so we know, verse 28, "that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose." Why? Because the Spirit intercedes for us according to the will of God. And so I need to be surrendered to God, and then I need to be surrendered to His will. As I come down to the end, there is a song. I don't know if it's in your songbooks or not. I didn't look for it. But there's a song entitled "All Your Anxiety." Are you familiar with the song? "Is there a heart overbound by sorrow? Is there a life weighed down by care? Come to the cross, each burden bearing. All your anxiety, leave it there. No other friend so keen to help you. No other friend so quick to hear. No other place to leave your burden. No other one to hear your prayer. Come then at once, delay no longer. Heed his entreaty, kind and sweet. You need not fear a disappointment. You shall find peace at the mercy seat. The chorus says, all your anxiety, all your care, bring to the mercy seat, leave it there. Never a burden he cannot bear, never a friend like Jesus.
Amen.
May we be submissive, may we be surrendered, and the last thing is, I need to be positive. Look for the silver lining. God knows what He's doing. He's not making any mistakes. So make the best of it, the best you can. Leave it in God's care. Seek to glorify God through it. Ask God. Go to Him. God, help me to glorify You through this. I don't like what's going on, but I want to trust You and all things work together for good. But I'm going to lean upon You. And if You'd be pleased to show me some benefit out of that, then do so. I mean, you do remember in 2 Corinthians, we read in chapter 1, verse 3 about God being the God of all comfort, but in verse 4 He says that we can comfort others with the comfort wherewith we are comforted of God.
Amen.
So we need to be positive about those things, even though they're so negative.
Amen.
Colossians 3:17 says, and whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. May God grant us grace that no matter how and what comes upon us and why it comes upon us, that we would just be as God would have us to be. So my last point is this. Number 3, what can I do? What must I know? What should I do? What can I do? Well, we need to look beyond ourselves. I need to look beyond myself. I need to look out to others. Very simply, as I close, I just want to make a statement unto you that we need to be aware. We need to be cognizant. There are people around us who are hurting. And they cover it so well. But all that God would give us is sensitivity, an insight, if you will, to be aware. So that we might be a help to them, that we might be a comfort to them with the same comfort wherewith we are comforted. Be aware. Pray. Well, of course, we need to pray for ourselves, but we need to pray for others who are hurting. And they may never come to you, but if you sense they have a great need, you can be praying for them. God, I pray for my coworker. I pray for my family member. I pray for my fellow church member. They've never said anything to me, but I just sense there's something deep inside that is hurting. And I want to pray for them. Be aware, pray, encourage. Encourage those who are hurting. Lift them up. And if possible, lend assistance. You might be able to actually do something about it. You might be able to step in and intercede. But I'll tell you above all things, point them to Jesus. Those that are Christians, remind them. God is your Father. He loves you. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. You have the promises of God's Word. Point them to Jesus. And you that are lost, your biggest need is Jesus Christ. And I point you to Jesus. He alone can give you eternal life. You need to repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Salvation is by grace through faith, apart from works. And you might think that you're hurting and you might think that you're in pain, but the biggest pain that you have is you're away from God, you're alienated from Him, and you're dead in trespasses and sins, and you don't realize it, but you're suffering. And I just pray that God would show that to you and give you restlessness until you come to rest in Christ.
Amen.
Your biggest need as a lost person is to know Jesus. I point you to Christ.